Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the RTC Weekly Download, where we listen once again to radio's golden moments, as they used to say. And today's star of the program, if you will, is Alan Ladd. We're going to feature him in a program from Dinah Shore from 1945. And that'll be followed by Alan Ladd once again, of course, in Box 13 and Susie Quits Paperwork for Dan. So let's give that a listen in about 30 minutes' time. Right now, the Dinah Shore Show.
Bird's Eye Frosted Foods present Bird's Eye Open House, starring Dinah Shore, with her special guest, Alan Ladd. Take it away, Dinah.
I love to roam out yonder, out where the buffalo wander. Free as the eagle flying, I'm roping and I'm tying, I'm roping and I'm tying. Give me my ranch and my saddle, far from the great city's rattle. Give me a big herd to battle, for I just love herding cattle.
Give me my bridle and saddle, and my old pinto I'll straddle. I'll get the cowboys a-riding, up where the rustlers are hiding.
Allá en el rancho grande, allá donde vivía. Buena ranchorita, que alegra me decía, que alegra me decía. Te voy a hacer tus calzones, como los usa el ranchero. Te los comienzo de lana, te los acabo de cuero. Give me my ranch and my cattle, far from the great city's rattle. Give me a big herd to battle, for I just love
El Rancho Grande.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi, you fellas.
Hi.
Oh, I'm fine. And welcome to the final session of this season's Bird's Eye Open House. Right now, Robert Emmett Dolan and the orchestra are busy putting slip covers on the furniture, and Joe Lilly and the chorus are seeing to it that the gas and the water are turned off. And coming over any minute to help close the shutters is our good neighbor, star of Paramount, Salty O'Rourke, Alan Ladd. Now, please, just a moment. And here is one of our most valuable possessions, already packed in camphor, Harry Mothproof Von Zell. How are you, Harry? Harry, how are you? Speak to me.
Hi, Dinah. Well, I guess this is it.
Harry, what's the matter?
You know what's the matter. This is our last show. That's what's the matter.
Oh. Harry, honey, we'll all be back in September. After all, 3 months isn't such a long time.
Maybe not to you, but I'm not getting any younger. And I ain't been feeling so... Well, what I mean to say is, you never know.
Oh, poor Harry, I'm so sorry to hear that. Gee, maybe I better get in touch with Harlow Wilcox, the Bill Goodwin, or Ken Carpenter.
What? Wait, Harlow Wilcox, good? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I might need a younger man.
Younger man. Look, Dinah, I just remembered something. I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I promised to bring my governess in to see the show.
Good little Harry.
Yeah. Look, Dinah, I'm through acting now. I get straight.
Yeah, you can be Harry.
Yeah. I understand you've got quite a schedule. That's the way we say it in the upper classes. We have quite a schedule mapped out for yourself this summer. playing army camps, hospitals, series of concerts. You're going to be a pretty busy little girl.
Oh, I am that.
Look, Dinah, when you get to New York, please do me one favor, will you? Be sure and give Mayor LaGuardia my regards.
Oh, well, I'll do better than that. I'll bend over and kiss him for you.
Bend over,
bend
yeah.
Over. Tell me, Harry, what are your plans for the summer?
You mean you haven't heard?
Well, no, I...
Oh, well, my dear girl. I thought it was practically spread all over. I'm making a picture at Universal.
You're making a picture?
Uh-huh. Is that funny?
Oh, no, no.
Dinah, listen, I don't understand this levity. Wouldn't you say that I'm a good bet for pictures?
Yes, if I got big enough odds.
I see. Well, it happens that the studios seem to think I'm a very good bet for pictures. I'll have you know.
Oh, they do.
As a matter of fact, they've given me my choice of a leading lady to play opposite. The choice is finally narrowed down now to two. I don't know which one to choose.
Who are they?
Flicka and Lassie.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bank, I got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take a sentimental journey, sentimental journey home.
Paramount, see if Alan Ladd is on his way over. Will you please carry on while I'm gone?
I sure will, Dinah. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, comes the time for
I
me...
beg your pardon, but are you Harry Von Zell?
Harry Von Zell. I think I'll find... Yes, I'm Harry Von Zell.
Well, I know this is terribly forward of me, but could I have a minute alone with you?
A minute.
Yes.
Sister, you can have a couple of months.
Well, I've been listening to you for years, and this is the first time I've seen you in person.
Oh.
Judging by the way your voice comes over my radio, I pictured you as being tall, dark, and handsome.
Oh. Well?
I think I'd better get a new tube for my radio.
Yeah, well, what was it you wanted to see me about, Miss?
You can call me Dolores.
Oh, Dolores.
What can I call you?
You don't have to call me, just Whistle.
Well, I came to Hollywood because my ambition is to become a famous actress, and I thought you might be able to help me.
Well, it happens you've knocked at the right door. I've done a lot of acting, you know.
Oh?
Tell me, have you had any training?
Oh, yes, yes. When I graduated from the School of the Drama, they told me I was a well-rounded actress.
You certainly are. Yes, well, I... That's a terrible... My mind isn't on the script at all, you know. I'd be very happy to help you, though. After all, my experience in the theater is a very one.
Well, how did you start?
Start? Well, I had a wonderful part in a lavish musical extravaganza.
Huh?
Extravaganza. E-X. That's what we used to call it. As the curtain rose, there on the stage were 80 beautiful girls dressed as snowflakes. Then I come up.
What did you do?
I shoveled off the snow.
Well, I'm afraid you don't understand. I want to be a dramatic actress.
Drama? Oh, I've played drama all over the... And this thing I have learned all during your career as a dramatist.
Mm-hmm.
You must have one consuming passion.
For the stage?
No, for spinach.
Spinach?
Birdseye quick frozen spinach. See, that's the way I get that in there. No, but really, you can't help but like this beautiful green spinach, Dolores, with all the wonderful fresh-from-the-garden flavor and the vitamins and minerals sealed in by quick freezing.
Oh, really? I don't see what spinach has to do with acting. The stage, after all, the play is the thing.
You are so right. So right. The play... No, the play is the thing. And Birdseye spinach is the thing every woman makes a play for.
Oh, spinach. In the immortal words of Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Well, what's the answer? You have it wrong anyway. What Shakespeare meant was to clean or not to clean. That is the question. So women who don't want to clean get Birdseye spinach. And there's no cleaning, no washing or sorting. Birdseye's done all the work for you. You simply have to take those glistening green leaves of perfectly clean, perfectly delicious spinach out of the box and pop into boiling water.
Oh, now I'm all confused. I always thought that in order to become a really great actor, one has to suffer and suffer.
Oh, and you're right. You're right. I found that when I got my first big part, I found that an actor definitely has to suffer. I found that out the minute I walked out on the stage.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody smacked me right in the kisser with a grapefruit. Oh, it was terrible. But I told him.
What did you say?
I told him to get some Birdseye spinach. See, I got it in again, didn't I? Well, Birdseye spinach goes much further, and there's plenty of it available. One box serves four people, doesn't take any ration points. Really, it's one of the most economical, convenient, and delicious treats anyone could find.
Well, I appreciate all you have told me, and now I shall go and dedicate the rest of my life to becoming a great actress.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. And who knows? Perhaps someday, you and I... Do you think I sound like William Powell? Well, so someday, it's possible that you and I might make love on the balcony in Romeo and Juliet.
Do you know something, Harry?
What?
We could do much better in the balcony at the Paramount.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This arrangement of Stardust was made by Sergeant Ralph Wilkinson while I was in England last summer, and I had the privilege of singing it with the orchestra of a man who left a great musical heritage.
Major Glenn Miller. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration, ah, but that was long ago, and now my consolation is in the sadness of a song beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses bloom. So I dream in vain, ever in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love's
What is it, Harry?
Dinah, inasmuch as this is our last program of the season, I want to talk to you about next season.
Well, what's on your mind?
Me.
You?
Yeah, I'm giving out with a warning right here and now. I'm through standing up here and taking all those cracks from your guest stars. Like when Frank Morgan told me I was so fat that if I turned myself into the butcher, I'd get enough red points to keep a restaurant and meat for 2 years.
Well, Harry, he was only kidding. You couldn't blame
him
for
that. Yeah, but he said it. There is a rumble of anticipation in the audience.
But they're not supposed to know about it until later.
No, I know. But I haven't forgotten the time that Frank Sinatra said that if I stood in front of Boulder Dam, you wouldn't be able to see Boulder Dam.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to get rid of this frog in my throat, and then I'm going to go on.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, next season, the first guy who makes a crack about me being fat is going to get a punch right in the nose.
Hiya, pudgy puss.
Well, Harry?
Yeah, you distinctly heard me say next season.
Alan Ladd, welcome to...
Thank you, Dinah. And I'd like to express my gratitude for your kind invitation. Believe me, dropping in on you this way to pass the time of day is a pleasure long sought after.
Alan, I can't believe it was really you who said that.
Why not, pray tell?
Well, I don't know, but I was sort of prepared to meet Alan Ladd, the man who shoots cops and the lover who slugs his women.
Why, Dinah, surely you're joshing me. Why, I'm the very soul of chivalry. Permit me to illustrate with an anecdote. It was but a fortnight ago that I was strolling through the country with a young lady. It started to rain. We came to a large puddle. I took off me jacket, spread it over the puddle, and said, "You first, my dear."
You really did that?
Certainly, I ain't no joke. I wanted to see how deep that puddle was.
Listen, Dinah, can't you see that he's kidding?
Oh, hold on, old fellow. Why, when it comes to social finesse, I'm without a peer. Dining out in a fine restaurant is where I shine. I order from caviar to crepe Suzette, and I know which wine to order with each course. Of course, I'm quite the gourmet.
I suppose you're quite fond of pheasant under glass.
Well, I don't mind the pheasant, but the glass gets in my teeth.
You know, I just can't figure you out. One moment you sound like a perfect gentleman, and the next moment
you... Look, Dinah, it's perfectly obvious the guy is a mug.
Me a mug? Well, I'll hit you so hard on the top of the head that you'll be using your tongue as a shoehorn.
Oh, is that so? Look, I'll make your lower plate wobble so much you won't even be able to get credit from a friendly dentist.
Now, Harry Allen, please, stop this altercation.
Well, Dinah, I would not have altered had he not first cationed.
Allen, there's something about you that interests me. Tell me, how did you ever get to be the number one tough guy of the screen?
Well, Dinah, it goes back a long way. Back to the day I was born.
Doctor, doctor, what is it?
Mrs. Ladd, it's a boy.
Oh, did you slap him, doctor?
I didn't get a chance. He slapped me first.
You don't mind, Mrs. Ladd, I'm getting out of here.
Oh, doctor, did you leave a formula for the baby?
Formula, nothing. You can start that kid on K-rations.
And that, Dinah, is how I got my start.
What about the neighborhood you lived in? Was it tough?
That wasn't so tough. Well, the ice cream parlor would only serve 3 Mickey Finns to a customer.
Alan, did you ever get in trouble with the police?
Yes, Dinah. I was just 6 years old.
Are you Mrs. Ladd?
Yes, officer. What's wrong?
Plenty. Your son, Alan, is in the city jail.
In jail? But the boy is only 6 years old. Why did you arrest him?
He was pulled in for playing hopscotch.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous. How can you arrest a child for playing hopscotch?
Lady, he hijacked the scotch.
Oh, that's very interesting. But what would you say was your most exciting escapade as a child?
Well, at the age of 8, I ran away to sea.
You ran away to sea?
Yeah. I ran away to see a burlesque show.
Well, what about school, Alan? Did you ever go to school?
Well, certainly. And I'll never forget my teacher, Miss Hildebrand.
Alan Ladd, I want you to tell me the truth. Did you put glue on Tommy Smith's seat?
Nah.
Now, for the last time, did you put glue on Tommy Smith's seat?
Nah.
Well, that settles it. I'm going to get up and give you a walloping. All right, I'm getting up. Oh!
See that? I told you I didn't put glue on his seat.
Alan Ladd, you're incorrigible. And another thing, I'm going to keep you after school until 5 o'clock because you don't know any of the questions.
Teacher, if you keep me until 5 o'clock, I still won't know any of the questions. But I'll guarantee one thing.
What's that?
You'll know all the answers.
Well, just one more question, Alan. How did you get your start as public enemy number one of the screen?
Well, believe me, Dinah, it wasn't easy. I went from studio to studio, and I couldn't get a break until one day I took matters into my own hands. I pull up over there, Joe, where it says Paramount Studios. Spike, keep your eye on the studio cop over there.
Right, boss.
Mac, you keep the hand grenades handy. And remember, when I say the word, we blast our way into the joint. Come on, let's go. All right, reach for the ceiling.
But I don't understand. What do you want of me?
Plenty. You're head of this studio, and I got you where I want you. I want a part in a picture. And I ain't taking no for an answer.
But the only part that's open is the character of a murderous gangster.
Well?
You're definitely not the type.
Well,
wonderful. Thank you for coming over and being such a good sport.
The pleasure is all mine, Dinah.
But now, let's get down to cases. I know that most of this hard guy stuff is just publicity. Between us, Alan, have you ever done anything really bad?
Dinah, I've never told anybody, but if you promise to keep this strictly confidential, I will tell you of a pretty awful thing I did once. I tried to forget it, but I just can't.
Oh, I promised not to tell a soul.
Well, I was only 19 at the time. I probably had the wrong friends. I can't go on.
Oh, Alan, what did you do?
Well, Don, I kept the book out of the library till it was 7 cents overdue.
Well, friends, you know, this is our last program of the season, and it's my last chance for a while to put a bee in your summer bonnet about Birdseye. But I think I won't tell you how wonderful they are and how delicious or how easy to serve. I just want to leave you with this thought. When you do reach into the Birdseye case for those swell frosted foods, just make sure the packages you pick carry the Birdseye label. Because, you see, there are many brands of frosted foods, but only one Birdseye. Only Birdseye gives you that famous Birdseye uniform top quality, that Birdseye flavor. And honestly, you'll really enjoy Birdseye frosted foods. They all taste so garden fresh you'd think you had just picked them out of your own garden. And they're all so easy to prepare. No cleaning, no sorting, just a little boiling and a lot of good eating. So for your own protection, look for the Birdseye label. Because remember, for the better buy in frosted foods, better buy Birdseye.
After D-Day, I worried until the E-Day. I've got my weapon, well rehearsed, but first he'll have to cross the Atlantic to get to the Pacific. He'll have to cross the Pacific before he comes back to me. My love for him just grows stronger. The days and nights seem longer. I know what makes them seem longer, but that's how it's got to be. Every day just adds to my devotion. But until the day that they run out of ocean, he'll have to cross the Atlantic to get to the Pacific. He'll have to cross the Pacific before he comes back to me.
He'll have to cross the
Atlantic
to get to the
Pacific.
He'll have to cross the Pacific, but that's how it's gotta be.
Every day just adds to my devotion. But until the day that they run out of ocean, he'll have to cross the Atlantic to get to the Pacific. He'll have to cross the Pacific, but that's how it's got to be.
Boys and girls, all you fine people in the listening audience who have helped to make it such a wonderful radio year for us all here at the Birdseye Open House, thank you. A month or so before the frost is on the pumpkin, we'll all be back with a new fall session, and it would really be nice to have you with us then. We all hope that by the time we're beaming your way again, the little yellow men of the rising sun have had a total eclipse, and your loved ones are at home or on their way home to you. The best way to speed that up, of course, is those ever-loving war bonds. Thank you, and goodbye for now, everybody.
Speak. Speak for game. No wonder Fido speaks for Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S, Gaines Dog Meal. It's the complete meal to nourish every inch of your dog. Gaines contains everything dogs are known to need. Meat meal, vegetables, cereals, minerals, vitamins, everything. Prize dog breeders and veterinarians have recommended Gaines for over 15 years. Nourish every inch of your dog with Gaines. He'll speak. Speak for Gaines. America's largest selling dog food.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to KFI, Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box
13. Copy, boy. Copy, boy.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What do you say?
Where's that society page, please?
Hiya, Holliday.
Hiya.
Jerk the first paragraph in that Simmons story.
Hiya, Dan.
How are you? Hiya, Susie.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What's in Box 13?
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, here I am again, standing at the want ad counter of the Star Times, looking for what? An idea for a story. I could have stayed here as a reporter. I could have been searching for facts. Instead, I'm fumbling for fiction. Instead of a blonde, I'm meeting a deadline. Instead of Chanel number 5, I'm heading for a sniff of printer's ink. Holliday, you're a dope.
Mr. Holliday.
What's that, Susie?
I said there's a letter in Box 13 for you. It's special.
Special?
Special delivery. It was mailed only a couple of hours ago. Something like that could be important.
Could be.
Could be adventure.
Could be.
Could be a girl.
Could be. By the way, Susie, how come you're working so late this evening?
Oh, my boss asked me to. He's paying me overtime. Time and three quarters.
Time and three quarters?
Mm-hmm. I held out for double time when he offered me time and a half.
Well, what happened?
Oh, we effected a compromise.
Goodbye, Susie. Special delivery, huh? Well, this could be very important. Also, it couldn't. Well, come on, open it up, Holliday. You haven't got all night. I'm in terrible trouble. Please come to room 718 at the Bradford Hotel. Hurry. Signed, Agatha Marsh. That sounds urgent.
Who are you, young man? What do you want?
I'm the man from Box 13. I'm looking for Agatha Marsh.
I'm Agatha Marsh. Come in, come in.
You're Agatha Marsh?
But don't stand there with your mouth open. Never can tell who might be snooping around the hall. Find a chair and sit down. Now, what's your name?
Dan Holliday.
Well, Mr. Holliday, I don't believe in drinking or I'd offer you one, but I have got some sauerkraut juice in my thermos bottle.
No, thanks, just the same.
I like you, Mr. Holliday. I liked your ad in the paper. Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. It was just what I needed.
Well, thanks again.
Now then, what's your charge?
Charge?
For helping me, your fee.
Oh, that. No charge, Miss Marsh.
Are you trying to be chivalrous?
No, you see, I'm a writer. I'm looking for ideas. If I get a good idea, I consider I've been well paid.
Well, that seems a little silly.
Might I ask just what your trouble is?
Oh, you don't think a girl my age could get into trouble, do you?
Well, you look like a very charming old... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, lady, let's not beat around the bush. Now, no doubt you want to know a few things about me.
Well, that would be very interesting.
Yes, well, I live in Muncie, Indiana, alone. I've got a big house and an independent income. Every year I go someplace for a vacation, and this year I came here.
Is that all?
Isn't that enough?
But the letter you wrote me, you said you were in terrible trouble.
Well, I am. If anyone ever finds out about this, I don't know what'll happen.
Finds out about what?
Come over here to the closet. I want to show you something. Look. On the floor.
Well, that's a dead man lying there. Well, this would make a good opening chapter for a story. Young man goes to help charming old lady who is in terrible trouble. Terrible trouble turns out to be a corpse. Corpse? Hey, wake up, Holiday. This is the real thing.
Now do you believe me, young man?
When did you find him?
Just before I wrote you that letter.
Before you wrote the letter? Well, that's hours ago.
I know, but what could I do?
What could you do? Miss Marsh, you could call the police.
And get my name in the papers? Have all the folks back in Muncie know there was a dead man in my room? Oh, no.
Miss Marsh, listen to me, please. There's a dead man in that closet. There's a law about dead men. We have to notify the police immediately. You can go to jail for hiding a body.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
But, Miss Marsh, look at this man. He's been shot at close range. There are powder burns on his coat.
I know. I examined him before I wrote you. You see, I read all the current detective stories.
Detective stories? This isn't a story. This is the real thing.
I know. Why don't you try to prove that I did it?
With what? A cap pistol? Now, you're a nice person, Miss Marsh, but this is going to be tough.
But don't get so excited. A girl my age could kill a man if she wanted to. Rub him out, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Please, Miss Marsh, be sensible. You've got a murdered man in your closet. Now pick up that phone and call the police right away.
Mr. Holiday, in all seriousness, I can't do it. Think of what my lifelong friends would say.
Yes, I know it doesn't look good.
I can see the headlines now. Prominent Muncie pioneer woman found with dead body in hotel. Oh, please, Mr. Holiday, help me.
Well, I don't know. This is a little out of my department.
Just this once, Mr. Holiday. I've never asked for help before. I'm an old woman.
Well, all right. What do you want me to do?
I want you to help me get rid of the body.
Get rid of the body? Now, look, Miss Marsh, you're not serious. You didn't mean that.
No, you don't know me. I fully intend to get rid of that body.
Okay, go right ahead. It's your course.
And you're going to help me.
No, I'm sorry. Try a bellhop.
And have him snitch to the desk clerk. Besides, you advertised for adventure.
But this isn't adventure. It's a nightmare. Come on, Miss Marsh. Let me notify the police.
Now, there's a broom closet down the hall.
That's very interesting. I just remember, I'm meeting someone in the lobby.
I'd take the body there myself, but I'm not strong enough.
Goodbye, Miss Marsh.
I'll scream.
Go right ahead.
The hotel detective will show up.
Just a man I'd love to see.
And I'll tell him you killed that man.
Oh.
Now, would you help me?
Suppose we get caught.
Then you'll help me.
Now, wait a minute.
You said we. Now, I'll open the door and watch the hall. Case the joint, as they say in the mysteries. And then you whisk the body into the closet. You're strong. You can do it.
Oh, sure. I'm strong, all right. But not in the head. Oh, this can't be happening to you, Holiday. You can't be dragging a body down the hall of the Bradford Hotel. You know better. And as soon as you can get away from this charming but cracked old gal, you're going to talk to the police.
Harry. I'll open the closet door. Put him in right there. Stick him in good. Here we are.
I must be crazy.
Oh, good. Now back into my room before anybody sees us. Isn't that easy?
Easy, she says.
Well, I must say you carry out your part very well.
What's next in this little scheme of yours, Miss Marsh?
Why, don't you know? We have to find out who killed that Michael O'Brien.
You know who he is?
Well, I do now. I went through his pockets. Frisked him, as they say in the stories.
Well, that cuts it. You stay here. I'm going downstairs. Who's that?
Just keep cool. I'll handle everything.
Oh, I can't believe this. It just can't happen.
My name is Kling, Lieutenant, Homicide Bureau.
Oh, come in, won't you?
I intend to. Holiday, what are you doing here?
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, do you two know each other?
Never mind the social chatter. I thought this was some kind of a gag. Now I'm sure of it. Holliday, just what are you trying to dream up?
If I told you, Kling, you'd never believe me.
Sit down, Lieutenant. Can I get you some sauerkraut juice?
Well, I don't mind if... some what?
Sauerkraut juice.
No, thanks. Now listen, somebody, some crackpot phoned in a tip that there was a dead man in this room.
Why, Lieutenant, how can you say such things?
Lieutenant, now listen.
You'll be quiet. Miss Marsh, mind if I have a look around?
Not at all, not at all. Here's the closet. Now then, you can see for yourself, Lieutenant, there's nobody there.
I got your name from the desk clerk, Miss Marsh. Maybe you better tell me about yourself.
I can tell you all about it.
I was talking to Miss Marsh. Are you Miss Marsh?
Right now, I think I'm dead.
You will be if you keep interrupting me. Go ahead, Miss Marsh. Tell me about yourself.
Certainly. I live in Muncie, Indiana. I arrived this morning for a 2-week vacation. I'm well known back there, and you can find out everything about me if you care to wire.
How did you happen to meet Mr. Holliday here?
Look, Lieutenant, if you'll permit me to tell
you... I'm asking the lady.
I went to school with his mother. That's what I did.
Huh? See. Well, I guess it was the work of some would-be comic. But I had to investigate it just the same.
Well, of course you do.
Oh, but Kling, listen.
Goodbye, Miss Marsh. So long, Holliday.
But Kling, wait, I want to go with you.
Why don't you two have a fast game of hearts?
Mr. Holliday, wasn't that thrilling? Just like in the magazines.
Miss Marsh, you're going to stay in this room until I get Kling back here.
Oh, no, no, no. I want to solve this case myself.
I wonder how Kling found out that... Miss Marsh?
Yes.
I'm not the suspicious type, you understand, but a little bird, a tiny little bird, has intimated that perhaps you might know who tipped off the lieutenant.
Well, of course I know. It was I.
What in the world are you doing?
I made the call from the corner drugstore a little while ago. I wanted to throw the lieutenant off the trail, like they say.
You know what I say?
No, what?
You're going down to police headquarters and tell the truth.
Oh, just a second. Excuse me, please. Yes? Yes, this is Miss Marsh. Oh, you did. I thought so. Yeah, should have had 817 instead of this room. Oh, no, don't bother. I like it here. I knew it. I knew it all the time.
What did you know?
That was the room clerk. He got my reservation mixed up. I was supposed to get 817, and I got 718 instead.
You mean the person who killed Michael O'Brien wanted to get back in here to remove the body? No, 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 it doesn't sound reasonable.
No, it doesn't. Well, guess who was supposed to get this room?
Never mind, we're going to police headquarters.
It was Tony Bascari.
Tony Bascari. He's the biggest racketeer in town. He's dynamite. Miss Marsh, he's deadly.
I know, Mr. Holliday, and I love it.
Oh, no.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Two o'clock in the morning and I can't go to sleep. Oh, that little old girl has me worried to death. She wouldn't go to the police headquarters, and when I went down and talked to Kling, he acted as though it were a big joke and sent me on my way. Hello.
This is Agatha Marsh.
Now what? Where are you?
At the hotel. I went up to see Tony Bascari.
You what? Miss Marsh, don't you know that's the worst thing you could have done?
I had to talk with him. I put the heat on him, as they say in the murder mysteries.
And you're still alive?
I accused him of killing that O'Brien man. I came right out with it. But of course he wouldn't admit a thing.
What do you expect him to do, break down and confess?
Well, I think I've got him on the run. But I'm worried.
Oh, if I had Tony Bascari on the run, I'd be worried, too.
Because when I came back, I discovered someone had searched my room.
Will you call the police? You should have done it a long time ago.
Oh, no, 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 I couldn't. I want you to come over right away.
At 2 a.m?
Mr. Holliday, someone's trying my door.
Hang up quick. Call the room clerk.
But, Mr. Holliday, I'd...
Hurry, I said. That dear little meddlesome old fool. In your clothes, Holiday, because here we go again. And don't forget your Boy Scout badge. You'll make the Beaver Patrol tonight. The clerk said she hadn't called the desk. I wonder... No, she would have screamed. Someone would have heard her. It's open. Cleaned out completely. No Miss Marsh, no clothes, no nothing. Not even a piece of notepaper. Hey, what's this? Paper airplane. Like the ones I used to make in school. But why should she be making paper airplanes? Airplanes. The airport, that's where they took her. Keep that motor running, I'll be right back. Not many people around this hour of the night. Oh, there she is. And the man with her has his hand in his pocket, and I don't think it's there because it's cold. What I need now is a little fast talk and a little faster action. Okay, I'll take over from here.
Who are you? What are you talking about?
The old doll. Vascari wants it back.
Vascari told me to put her on a plane. I'm doing it.
Yeah? Changed his mind. He wants it back.
I don't think so. Besides, I never saw you before.
I told you, if you don't turn her over, Vascari might get sore.
When he called me?
It's only a half hour ago.
I was still at the hotel. He could have called...
And spilled everything over our phone. You nuts?
This don't sound right.
Yeah, forget it. I'm taking the old doll back with me.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna call Tony first.
Go ahead, stupid. Get your ears burned off.
Who are you calling stupid? Show me something that'll prove Tony sent you.
Got a match?
Stop stalling. This is a gun in my pocket. Let's talk to Tony.
Yeah, I've got some matches here.
Thanks.
Here. Get him, Mr. Holiday, quick. I'm coming. Ooh, not so fast. Ooh, I'm not as young as I used to be.
You should have remembered that before you got mixed up in this. Come on, get in.
Won't you push?
Driver, get out of here fast. What did you do to that guy anyway?
I struck him with my hat pin.
I might have guessed it. Now, Miss Marsh, what happened at the hotel?
Well, I hung up when I heard him trying the door, but I was too late. The door was unlocked.
So it was Tony Vascari, huh? He wanted you out of town fast.
Oh, but they were very nice to me.
You can thank your lucky stars for that. Usually, Vascari's enemies wind up in some ditch.
I didn't see him again. That man, the one you knocked out at the airport, he was the one who came in my room.
Well, you must have the goods on Vascari. He must have killed this man or had him killed. But why didn't he take him out of the hotel right away?
But there was a convention there last night. The whole place was literally crawling with people.
Oh, that's the reason. Oh, that paper airplane. That was fast thinking, Miss Marsh.
Well, thank you. Well, now we can go back to Vascari. We've got the goods on him. We can crack the cakes like they say in the murder mysteries.
Miss Marsh, I've got news for you. We're not going to see Vascari.
We're not? Well, where are we going?
You'll hate me, I know, but it's the police station. Well, Holiday, what happens now? You've taken Miss Marsh to Kling's office. She looks at him. He nods her into his private office. And suddenly she comes out smiling. You try to leave, only Kling stops you.
You stay here, Holiday.
Kling, you can't let her walk the streets alone. Vascari will get her.
Forget it. I got a man tailing her.
Okay, okay. But what happened in that office? What did she tell you?
Plenty, my friend. She preferred charges against you.
She preferred charges against me? Now, what are you talking about?
Kidnapping.
I kidnapped her.
You took her off the plane by force, didn't you?
Listen, Kling, that little old lady is a whodunit happy. She'll get herself killed. There really was a body in the hotel, you know.
Look, Holiday, do you know what you're saying?
Sure, I know what I'm saying. There really was a body in that hotel.
Holiday, why didn't you tell me?
I tried to, twice. Once in the room and the last time when I came in here.
Now think, Holiday, carefully. Where is the body?
In a broom closet down the hall. I put it there.
You put it there?
Yes, I put it there.
Holiday, get out of here.
Well, Holiday, now you're fixed. Even Kling looked at you like those things in your belfry weren't bats. They're more like eagles. But you're in it now, so you've got to follow through. And that indicates a fast ride over to the Bradford Hotel. Oh, clerk. Hey, clerk.
Yes?
I'd like to find out who occupied Agatha Marsh's room the day before she did.
That question is highly irregular.
Oh? Then here's a $10 bill that's highly regular.
Oh, let me think. She has 718. She checked in day before yesterday.
Yes?
The man who had the room before that was a traveling salesman. In lady suits, I believe.
He must have cut quite a figure. She must be in this hotel someplace. Her room's empty, but she must be around. But where? What are you worrying about, Holiday? You couldn't wait to get rid of her. Now you can't wait to get her back. You're a character who belongs back in the Middle Ages with a tin union suit for cold nights. She'll probably show up safely with that detective tailing her. The broom closet. Wonder if the dead man is still in there. He must be. Kling hasn't showed up yet.
Oh, hello, Mr. Holiday.
Miss Marsh, what happened? How'd you get in that closet?
Isn't this thrilling?
No, it isn't.
There was a detective trailing me, but he was knocked unconscious. Sapped, as they say in the murder mysteries.
And you were brought up here?
By the same man who tried to put me on the plane. He hit the detective, put me in the car, and brought me here.
Well, you two, what are we playing now? And where is the man I put on you, Miss Marsh?
He was hit over the head, Lieutenant, but I'm sure he's all right now.
This the closet where you said the body was?
Was, it's right, Lieutenant.
Now, let me take a look. You know what I think, Holiday?
What?
I think both of you crackpots are making this all up. I don't believe there ever was a body.
Kling, you have my word for it.
Your word doesn't mean as much as a Chinese dollar.
Kling, listen. They brought her back here, locked her up. They took the body away, didn't they, Miss Marsh?
Probably going to sink it in cement, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Mascari's in his room. I'll bet. Go up and talk to him.
Surely, put the heat on him.
Just once more, I'll play with you kiddies. Come along.
Where?
Miss Marsh's room. I'm locking you pixies in till I get to the bottom of this.
Kling's been gone 15 minutes. I wonder what's happening up there.
Not much. I haven't heard any shooting.
No, that's... Haven't heard any... In that case, how could a man be shot here and that shot not be heard?
Well, it's very easy, Mr. Holiday. The killer would use this.
Oh, Miss Marsh, now, where'd you get that gun?
Just took it out of the drawer. It was here all the time.
Well, put it down until Kling returns.
But I just want to show you why the shot wouldn't be heard.
What do you mean?
Would you excuse me, please? You see this bath towel, Mr. Holiday?
Yes, what about it?
Well, a smart person would take the gun like this, wrap the bath towel around it like this.
You know, Miss March, you found out a lot since you came here.
Oh, yes, I've done all right since early this morning.
Early this morning? But the clerk said...
I talked to Tony Biscari and he said...
Kling, look out! Here, Miss March, give me that thing.
You shouldn't have moved, Mr. Holiday. I was really shooting at you.
What's this all about, Holiday? What was she doing with that gun in her hand?
She was going to kill me, just like she killed Michael O'Brien.
That little old lady, killing somebody...
Miss March, you did kill him, didn't you? Then you called me, and you got Kling to come up here and catch me dragging the body away. Only he came a little late, as usual.
Now, wait a minute, Holiday.
Then when you couldn't pin it on me, you tried to hang it on Tony Biscari. Now, what did you do with the body?
Dragged it back to the closet in this room.
Oh. And I suppose you sapped the detective who followed you, too.
It was easy. I got him to turn around and hit him over the head with my purse.
Why did you kill Michael O'Brien? Did you have something against him?
No, I never saw him before.
Then why kill a perfect stranger?
I saw a play once. I liked those ladies in that play. They killed lots of people. I wanted to also. Only I should have done it like the ladies.
You don't mean arsenic and old lace.
Yes, and I should have worn the lace and given you the arsenic.
Well, Holiday, you're back in your apartment again. The sun is shining through the window, a sun you might never have seen again. You know, I've got an idea for you, Holiday. Give up this business and go into something quiet, like night watchman in a cemetery.
Holiday.
Well, what's that, Kling?
They examined the old girl down at the psychopathic ward of the city hospital. She's batty as a loon.
You're telling me. I saw that in her eyes when she wrapped the towel around that gun. But what happened to Bascari and his stooge?
When she heard he was the room above, she tried to pin the body on him.
Oh, so he tried to get her out of town in self-defense.
Mm. Holiday, you're a very lucky, lucky guy.
You can say that again and again.
And again.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello, Mr. Holiday.
Susie, what are you doing up here in my apartment? Why aren't you down at the Star Times?
Well, my boss and I have been talking about another compromise.
Another one?
He wants to fire me and I want to quit.
Oh, but Susie, if you left the paper, what would I do for my mail?
I was thinking, maybe you'd like to hire a good combination stenographer and secretary, huh?
That's you?
That's me.
Well, I don't know, Susie, but as they say in murder mysteries, I'll have to think it over.
You better think fast. Good help is hard to find.
Goodbye, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holiday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music was composed and conducted by Rody Schrager. This is a Mayfair production.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.